Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. On leaving the synagogue, Jesus entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Simon's mother-in-law lay sick with a fever. They immediately told him about her. He approached, grasped her hand, and helped her up. Then the fever left her, and she waited on them. When it was evening, after sunset, they brought to him all who were ill or possessed by demons. The whole town was gathered at the door. He cured many who were sick with various diseases, and he drove out many demons, not permitting them to speak, because they knew him. Rising very early before dawn, he left and went off to a deserted place where he prayed. Simon and those who were with him pursued him, and on finding him said, "Everyone is looking for you." He told them, "Let us go on to the nearby villages that I may preach there also. For this purpose have I come." So he went into their synagogues, preaching and driving out demons throughout the whole of Galilee. The Gospel of the Lord. This day in which we celebrate and thank God for it, the 100th birthday of Cardinal John O'Connor. The Church has us enter into the daily life of Jesus, what his public ministry was like. He preached all day in the synagogue, and when it was sundown, then he was able to take a little bit of a break, but as soon as he gets to Simon Peter's house, he cures his mother-in-law. And the whole town is at the door, and he cures them not in one big healing service, cures them one by one, so that each could be a real encounter with faith. And then exhausted, close to midnight, maybe crashes for a couple hours. But in St. Mark's term, rising very early in the morning, in Greek that's a very clear term, about 3 o'clock in the morning, he got up and he went out to pray. And then finally, when the others awoke and were looking for him, saying, "The whole town is looking for you. Everybody is looking for you." Jesus doesn't say, "Great, let's get to work. Awesome, they've received on good soil the seeds that I planted yesterday." He said to the other towns, "I must go so that I might proclaim the gospel there too. For this purpose I had come." He was constantly going forth to bring more people to the Lord. He ministered to John O'Connor as a disciple in this way. John heard his preaching, and the word did not return to the Lord in vain. He received the many ways that he himself needed the Lord's healing touch, like every disciple, minimally in the sacrament of confession. He went out to heal like Jesus himself had done. Talk about that later. He prayed and received the fruit of the Lord's Prayer. And then he, like Jesus, went forth. Today, as we enter into these readings, we can ponder in a particular way the need to pray. Rising very early before dawn, Jesus went out to pray. There's this passage in one of sister's most favorite books, In Sinu Jesu, in which Jesus talks about the graces he gives about praying in the middle of the night when everybody else is sleeping, when you pray for a sleeping world and a groaning creation, when there are so many fewer distractions that you have to deal with, which shows the real priority for God, that God is more important even than our sleep when it comes down to a raw decision between the two. This is the reason why monks and nuns have gotten up in the middle of the night to pray matins, It's the reason why you get up so early and come down here to St. Andrew's, and I get up early to come to meet you. It's the reason why God, who could have called young Samuel at any time during the day or the night, chose to call him in the middle of the night. Because there's a special encounter that happens there. To prioritize prayer, to go out to meet the Lord in silence, is so essential if we're going to be able to meet him in the frenetic pace of the day. And Jesus shows us that even exhausting work wasn't enough to take away that crucial need of prayer, not so much as a duty we owe to God, but as a gift that God gives to us to be able to help us in the midst of all that loving activity. Cardinal O'Connor was one who, having received as a disciple the Lord's ministry in this way, was changed in such a way that he became a great apostle to make other disciples, became a great proclaimer of the Word of God. He was passionate about it, both with his pen as well as with his voice. He said, in season and out of season, things that many others were too afraid to say, but he had a great boldness in preaching the truth. And he loved to preach long, by the way. Last night I was reading a lot of things about Cardinal O'Connor, and in his short time in the Diocese of Scranton, after he had done a visit throughout the Diocese of Scranton, he wrote a whole series of his observations, and among those observations, he talked about preaching and how it is important in a world in which many people don't pay attention to the Word of God, that we give them a full portion of it. He was a proclaimer of the truth, loved the pulpit of St. Patrick's in order to be able to proclaim not his word, but God's word, because he knew that the world needed that word. He was someone who took the Lord's healing mission seriously. This particular calling each of us has to be a good Samaritan after the Master's image. When his mom was blind temporarily, he cared for her with great love. When he was a young priest, cared for those with Down syndrome. Very famously, when he was here as Cardinal Archbishop, cared for 1,100 AIDS patients, one by one. He was someone who knew that the Lord wanted to continue to stretch out his healing hand and use him as that hand. Someone who prayed a lot, prayed during the day, prayed at night, prayed whenever. Led so many of the sisters of life in prayer. How beautiful it is that you've maintained so that you can have access to it. All the retreats he prayed in a spirit of prayer to the young sisters of life and those who were discerning. He showed the real priority of prayer far more than any of his accomplishments. He was one who was constantly going forth, was not resting on his laurels and staying where he was. This was obvious in his service in the military, where literally he crisscrossed the world many times over in order to bring the Word of God and the sacraments, Christ's healing, to soldiers all over, especially those who were afraid, those who had been seriously injured, those who were preparing for death. He crisscrossed this large archdiocese in order to build it up and strengthen the brethren. Today, as we give thanks for the gift of his life, we recognize that as he founded the Sisters of Life, he founded the sisters by divine inspiration, precisely in order to be able to continue on this mission that the Lord has given to the church. A specific part of that mission, to proclaim that gospel of life indefatigably, to heal those who are wounded in any way, especially those who had had abortions or had been wounded in relationships and were thinking about ending the life of their children, to pray and to fast incessantly for the cause of life and all the ways that life and the Lord of life are offended. To go forth to crisscross to bring this further and further afield into various other contexts so that the Lord's will that we might have life and have it to the full will be accomplished. His whole life was a commentary on the responsorial psalm. Here I am, Lord, I come to do your will. And that's what he founded the Sisters of Life to be able to echo. Same Lord who spoke to Samuel, the same Lord who preached in the Capernaum synagogue, healed Peter's mother-in-law, healed everybody else, went out to pray, and then went throughout all of Galilee. Same Lord who called a young boy born 100 years ago in a row house in Philadelphia to follow him all the way to heaven, comes here today to speak to us while it's still dark outside. We say to him, speak, Lord, your servant's listening, with open hearts, so that we hear these words as words to be done. And we receive the same spiritual nourishment that made Cardinal O'Connor so strong and so faithful. Praise be Jesus Christ.